This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Couldn't agree with you more, Craig. Sounded like Scott Jackson in the background. That was a wild event to get all those five stars in one location. Speaking of five stars, that is exactly who our next guest is, was. He lives a five-star life. He's been a baller since day one, and that is Coach Chris Knocke. See, Knock, you can't hide it, man. Come out. You've been exposed. Okay.
You're the best, Doc. You are too
No, no, no. You always try to fly under the radar and try to go in there, brother. But I never, ever don't pull that mask down every time and let everybody know. Don't let him do that to you. He's undercover. You know, he's undercover. You know, now look at this Maryland squad. And I go, it's almost like old times. I mean, this is nothing new to us having successful programs in this town. You've been on the bench with successful teams. I've covered your teams. You've covered others. We know that from pup school all the way up. As the fellas have taught me here, it's in the water. I get it. But there's a little something different when the hair starts to rise on the back of your neck. Those kind of games. We haven't had a whole lot of those in a minute. And I feel like that's coming back now. And you got to earn that. You got to earn it. So I'll ask you, because you were part of that, man, that trio, Holiday, Knocke, and the Wizard. I mean, that crew is crazy, crazy, crazy freaks. And yet, it's fitting for this type of game. Am I on point or completely off point that this kind of matchup reminds me of old times?
No, it's fantastic. It's a great opportunity for this team. And you know what? To your point, Doc, they earned it. They played their way into this game and this opportunity. And they deserve a lot of credit for that. There were some bumps early on as these guys kind of got acclimated with each other. But they've weathered all that, playing very good basketball right now. And the great thing about, you know, one thing about winning, when you keep doing it, you get on a roll, particularly this time of year where all the games are so important, man, that next game is always a big one. And when you add Tom Izzo and Michigan State, you know, Team Sparty into that mix, it just feels even bigger. Michigan State had one of the great wins of the college basketball season here in their last game at Michigan. That's a tough game there. Arch rivals. And they won by double digits. They're playing well, too. So let's go. I wish we were tipping it off tonight.
Yeah, in Maryland, and people worry about the time. And I mean, I don't care if it's noon or midnight. And I've learned this over the years, eavesdropping in your conversations, that really good teams need more than one big. You get two bigs, that are unselfish, and that how I determine a team, eavesdropping into your conversations over the years, it's going to be all about how do they defend? How do they rebound? And do I have three guards that are in transition that I know guys I can trust? And so I look at this team and I go, just what coaches always said. And I'm looking at them and they've split minutes. They share minutes. They all defend. It's almost like he doesn't have to yell at them to do things that I've seen other coaches have to crack a whip to get their kids to do.
Yeah, and you know, Doc, you know, usually when you put together a game plan and you're, you know, at a D1 level, there's always a weakness that you can exploit or somebody you can lay off of, somebody you don't have to cover at the three-point line or whatever, somebody you can take advantage of defensively where you just really, really love that matchup. And these guys, you know, particularly that starting five, there is no weak link. They'll shoot it. They are willing defenders. You mentioned the defense and the rebounding. The dirty work is what wins games. You know, the dirty work that nobody, that a lot of guys don't want to do, you know. And yet you get to this level, power five level, all these guys were big scorers at some point in time in their lives, whether it was high school or AAU or whatever. They all were. The difference is the guys who are willing to do all the little things that it takes to win, you know, in any sport, on any level. And I'm impressed with how selfless these guys have been. They've believed. They've stayed the course. Like I said, there were some bumps early on and some difficult losses. But right now, 21-6 with an opportunity to go 12-5 in the Big Ten is a pretty nice opportunity.
How do you describe a kid like Queen? Not his skills. We've seen that before. What I haven't seen consistently is the demeanor matched with the physicality and the soft hands.
Yeah. Well, I'd call it, if you asked me to describe it in one word, I think I'd say he's a savant. Yeah. You know, he does things that you can't. I mean, I know he's had good teachers and coaches in his background. Yeah. There's certain things he does physically, Doc, that nobody's taught him. It's just you either have it or you don't. It's the hands, the great hands. He's a ballerina along the baseline with his footwork, you know. And for a guy who's 255 pounds or whatever, right. 255 or whatever they report him as, you know, that's, you don't see that a lot. And he's just got all those little things that make him a really difficult cover. That, and he's also a learner. Man, he, you know what, this guy struggled early on this season, and I don't think it came too easily to him, but he's figured it out over the course of the last couple of weeks. He's been virtually unstoppable. And even in games where they limit his shots, he only had 9 shots in his last game, but he had 17 rebounds. I mean, 17 rebounds in a D1 game is getting it done in a big way. And so he has figured it out. He's taken the next step and then some. And so you got to credit him for that. There are a lot of guys that come in and say, I'm the real deal. I got the package. I know what I'm doing. But there aren't that many guys that are willing to learn during the process.
Hey, Coach, just looking at the job that Kevin Willard has done this season in his third season, what can you say about their late game execution? I feel like this season they've done a good job of executing down the stretch and being able to, you know, seal games and put them away as opposed to, you know, the first couple of seasons here.
Yeah, and good question. And I tell you what, I think they've actually gotten really a lot better at that as the season has gone on. And that's credit to him and his staff. I mean, and probably a lot of situational work and practice. But I will tell you, too, with absolutely no disrespect intended, it's easier to finish out games when you got really good guards. Mm-hmm. And they've got really good guards. The ball is in the hands of Kobe Gillespie or Rodney Rice, you know, down the stretch of games. They're good decision makers. They're great free throw shooters, which is huge because that's where you close out a lot of games. And so, yeah, they figured it out. I think the guys also have figured out their roles in the last minutes of games and, you know, how they can best be used and the job at hand. So, they've come a long way in that area for sure.
Coach, I've tried to understand this young people. You know, as you age, you get further and further separated. And
good luck with that, Doc.
Well, no, but I think I have to, because a lot of them are coworkers. And so What I love about these young guys now that are gifted, and Queen reminds me, like JD5, he doesn't wake up in the middle of the night and check his phone to see how many likes he has. Why is that?
Yeah, you know what? That's really good. Just some guys are wired different, you know? And I was watching a clip, I don't know where I saw it, Doc, but somebody had put it on social media somewhere, of JD5 in the last 50 seconds of the Eagles game at home. And I could not get over, again, and I watched the game live. I bet I watched it 8 times since it happened, or clips of it, you know, 7 or 8 times. But watching it again, just the last 50 seconds, with all that was on the line, and you're playing the best team in football, the best talent, the most talented team in football.
Yeah,
I could not get over the composure and the way he approached the game. At one point in time, you know, he downs the ball, he spikes the ball. They're clearly down. They have no timeouts left, 10 seconds left. It's either, you know, you throw it into the end zone or you throw it out of the end zone on the next play. And clearly, you know, that was the next play was the touchdown. But he's up there. He's laughing with one of the Eagles linemen. I guess it was Carter, one of those guys on the Eagles line.
It was.
He was just cool as could be. Like, I've been here before. I've worked on this. I've practiced it. I've seen it. And here we go. And I just, you know, that kind of composure, that kind of steel is so impressive. And a lot of guys don't have it, man. You get a lot of guys who will buckle when it's the time is right. And Queen, to his credit, one of the things about Queen down the stretch of games is how remarkable he's been at the foul line in terms of closing out games. Back to Anthony's point about closing out games. You know, a lot of times when you're given fouls in that situation, you're going and fouling the other team's big guy if you can, because usually they shoot a lower percentage. And Maryland's guys are both well over, you know, into the 70s. Julian Reese has come for miles as a free throw shooter. And Queen is just, you know, lights out, particularly down the stretch of games. You know, it was one game against Ohio State where he struggled. But for the most part, he's been a part of those, you know, he's been one of the closers. And that makes him different.
Yeah, I don't sense any ego. I love the way Reese leads by example, but also no ego. That's the one thing I notice about the Terps, is that they're real togetherness, and it's not fake. You know, some guys, and they've played and been in this town, and we all know exactly who the people I'm talking about, they wanted you to see them lead. And it was phony as a $3 bill. And they had to get, they wanted to get the credit. And they wanted you to know that they wanted to get the credit. This team is pure. I sense a purity with them. Easy to like, hustle, go for it. And I judge them even when the chips on the road, they lost when it was tight. No finger pointing. And you know, I mean, you guys are there and you've coached the game. You get it. Real good vibe about this team. No matter what happens on Wednesday, their test will be the tournament. And I really believe that they're going to shake up some things.
Yeah, I hope that's the case, and I think you're right. But to your point about leadership, and like one of the things I noticed about Queen and his development, I think I said this on the air a couple of times, that it looked to me a couple of weeks ago like somebody's been talking to him. Somebody's been sort of mentoring him. Like one of the things you don't see him do, like he was doing it a lot early in the season, is yapping with refs.
Right.
He was doing it an awful lot early in the season. And you know what, Doc? Mm-hmm. I've never seen an official turn to a player and say, you know what, you're right, I'm going to change that call. No, it just doesn't happen, right? So here's my point with this. So one of the things you notice, I'm not in the locker room. You know, I get a chance to interview Willard in the locker room right after the games, win or lose. But one of the things you see when you travel with these guys is that Derek Queen is about half a step behind Julian Reese wherever you go. They sit together on the plane. They sit together at meals. To me, that speaks volumes. I don't have to be in a locker room to know what's going on in that relationship,
right.
You know?
Right.
And Julian's been a good college player for 4 years. He's going to end up with some insane numbers because he's played so much over 4 years. And maybe one of his greatest legacies will be the fact that he was able to mentor this kid, even if the kid's only there for 9 months or whatever that freshman season consists of. If it's the kind of a great, great year we all hope for, that's a great legacy in and of itself.
We got Chris Nockey on the Hoffman Show, Doc Walker filling in, super producer also here. Question regarding the DMV's talent here and the fact that, we had Jameer Young last year, DeMatha Catholic point guard. We got Rodney Rice also out of DeMatha. What is, Kevin Willett trying to, manufacture over at Maryland, where he's managing to, get a lot out of the DMV talent? Because that's also was a huge thing in his hiring, being able to retain the DMV talent here. I mean, we still have a couple of guys on the roster, Deshaun Harris-Smith, Julian, you name it, to be honest.
Yeah, and you know what? It's a different kind of algebra right now because of the way the portal works. And you can't exist on high school talent alone. I mean, some of these cases, you're getting these DMV kids like Rodney Rice on the rebound, from someplace else. Jameer Young was the same play. He came in, same situation. He came in from Charlotte. So I know he's committed in really mining the best players from D.C., and that includes, obviously, the DMV. DMV, and that includes Baltimore. Baltimore can be such a hotbed in any given year. So I know he's committed to that. The rest of it is sort of, finding kids out there through the portal that match a couple different things, match your needs, match the way you envision, the way you want to play. And also, let's be honest, match what you have to pay. And that's a part of this as well. Mm-hmm. You got to marry all those things together. And so they did a remarkable job of that here in the off season. They remedied last year. This team couldn't shoot, couldn't score aside from Jameer. And they went out and made sure that wasn't going to be the case this year. This year they're getting 83, 84 a game. And there's certain times of the game where the points come so easily that they get up and down the court, they play at pace. They're able to score in half court when they have to grind it out. I mean, they got it going on the offensive end for sure this year, and that is a stark contrast to what they had last year.
Anthony, I just for kicks, can you imagine what Nockey would have brought in NIL back in the day? No, seriously, think about it. And then,
if
you want to really take it up to the Wizard, to Walt.
Oh. I'm not going to betray all this, the story.
I understand.
Betray the confidence of the Wizard, but the other day I was talking to Wiz about what some of these guys, not just Maryland guys, but what some of these guys are making that I'm aware of. And Wizard looked at me and he dropped like 6 or 7 F-bombs in a row. And he's like, his whole point was, what would I have been worth,
that's my point.
Back in the day?
I
had like 8 consecutive 30-point games.
Exactly.
His last, he would have been the highest paid college player in America.
Yeah. And it's good for the game. I'm not mad at it because that means that money was always there. It just went somewhere else.
I agree, Doc.
We'll never know. But the passion for the game, hopefully it's not ruined the game. That's the thing I'm happy about, because it could have killed the game. It could have really ruined it, and I don't think so. I think we're starting to get it figured out, and because based on what I've seen just thus far, it's been a good ride, and the best is yet to come. See, Knock, man, I know it's a crazy, man. What about the legend and Holiday? Can you imagine Holiday? Because, he was an all-star as well. Ever do I want to forget, when I'm talking like this, to forget that Johnny was a baller as well.
Yeah, and you know what? He was, Johnny's been making NIL money for 75 years.
Exactly.
He was the king of the NIL before there was NIL. So, yeah, for sure.
No doubt about
it. Yeah, he's still getting it done, man.
Love him to death. Hey, man, appreciate you. I'm just pulling for you, man. Go out and do what you guys are going to do. And, again, we act like this is the end. This is just the beginning. We haven't even got to the Big Ten tournament. We haven't gotten to the craziness of all of it. But just know that you're going with a sharp blade, and we'll talk about it afterwards.
I love it, Doc. Thanks, man. Always great talking
Thank you, Coach. Appreciate
right.
that. See you, bud. As Coach Thompson would say, man, whatever we had nice, it's one, simply one of the best. I know you got to make up some time right now, brother, so I will let you do what you got to do. Apologize for that. But when you get knocky like that, man, that was classic gold, radio gold. We'll pay a few bills and we'll come back. 301-230-0980 is the number. Your thoughts on the Terrapins Spartans clash Wednesday night.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover, all for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
If you're thinking about GLP-1s for weight loss, listen up. You must make sure you're maintaining your muscle mass while you're losing weight. Otherwise, you can slow your metabolism and regain the weight. Omisid, a natural superfood protein shake, has been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. It optimizes and supercharges your metabolism so you can lose weight easily. Use Omisid with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at omised.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby.
If you enjoy football, football,
be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys. New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday.
Subscribe on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Young fella, pride of Georgetown Prep, on controls. Hoffman, getting a break. DOC, in manning the timeline. Having fun with that. We started off with the Rooster, cock-a-doodle-doo. There was no way we could lose with that start. This is like a relay to me. I get a chance to do it on the weekends, man, with AWOD. He comes out. I take on the second leg, and it's a lot of fun. We got a great group that we get a chance to talk ball with. And, of course, our audience is off the chain because it's diverse, it's passionate, and everybody has a stake at this thing, man. whether you're doing it for wagering, you got teams, you're betting on, what, it's all good. Just have an interest in it. It's quarterbacking, man. Shefflin, it's a lot going on, man. We got some. When I heard Stafford's name, I don't know what you and your young people, maybe you thought you saw this coming. This brother, man, I'm telling you what, I'm not saying they were going to beat Philly, but they got in Philly's chess. Stafford can play. And I'm not going to doubt what LA's doing, because I think the key to the NFL is you have to be able to move on from people. If you fall in love with people, you end up being in last place for several years. This is like an amusement park. Once the ride ends, you got to get off the ride and pay again if you want to do it. So they're moving on. Where do you see Stafford ending up? And who should be in the sweepstakes?
If the Steelers...
Oh, don't say Steelers.
You don't like
that?
Oh,
my God. Big Tony.
I don't
like...
Here
we go again. The Steelers. they're another... Look, great brand. You know I love Big Tony. Love the Steelers. We have got to stop talking about the Steelers and the Cowboys. Because we're about winning. They don't win. There, it's a nice story. I get it. I'm a big fan. Love the black and gold. Love the way they travel. But they're in next to last place, middle of the pack, 500. Who gets this much run? Who do we talk about this much? This 500.
I mean, I just feel as though the last couple of years, ever since the Kenny Pickett experiment went terribly wrong,
okay,
they have been looking for a quarterback. They started with Justin Fields. That didn't work. They went to Russ. That didn't work. And now they don't have a chance at landing, you know, one of the premier quarterbacks in this year's draft. So I think they're looking at free agency, or they're looking at trades.
Premier? Did you say premier?
And then
associated with this year's quarterback draft? No, man, I'm just... Look, dude, I'm aging, gracefully, I might add. But I want to make sure when my faculties start to slip, I want to be conscious of it. And I could have sworn I heard you say something about this year's quarterback group.
I mean, it's only...
That kind of caught my interest.
I think Cam Ward, I think he's going to be really good. I think he's going to be really good. Shador, the jury's still out. I think he holds onto the ball too long. But I think he can... learn from that, and he'll figure it out. I'm not going to say it's going to happen in year one, because I thought Caleb Williams was going to do that in year one, and he still holds onto the ball entirely too long, trying to play hero ball. So I feel as though it's top-heavy. That's what I'll say. This year's draft is top-heavy. Those two quarterbacks, miles above everybody else. The Jackson Darts of the world, if you want to include him. But I'm just saying,
man, you're talking about the young man at Mississippi, at Ole Miss?
Yeah. I think he's going to be all right. I think he's going to be all right, but I'm taking Shador. I'm taking Cam Ward over him. And so if the Steelers want to go that route, all right, you can go get Jackson Dart. He's going to be available for you. But if you still want to be a contender this year while you still have that defense intact, I think them making a move for Matthew Stafford and trying to acquire another wide receiver would probably be in their best interest.
I think Shador has nice pocket presence. I'm trying to force myself to not view him as Deion Sanders' son. I'm forcing myself to do it. What would I say about him if he was not Deion Sanders' son? And I would say, if Dak Prescott went in the fourth round, he wasn't Deion Sanders' son either. He's got pocket presence. He's got a nice gun. May have a better gun or whatever. I go, and Dak, and I saw Dak play in SEC, played a better level of ball than Shador did. And I think Shador throws a hell of a – I love his pocket presence. His line was terrible. So he is better geared for his first year than most guys, because he had the worst protection the damn anybody I've ever seen.
Yeah, that's fair.
But when you don't have that natural quick twitch, and you don't have a gun, then I'm looking at this going, maybe he got the best test out of everybody to be able to survive the first year. Because they're the worst pass-blocking group of people I've ever seen that never seem to get better. This kid took some, he's the toughest dude in the draft pool because of the way he got hit. So that, I like him a lot. But I'm just not certain I've seen anybody blue chip based on how we hype these guys up. I saw Caleb do some things in college I'd hardly ever seen anybody do with the feet. I call him Fred Astaire. He got out of stuff. He just was a magnificent. But again, it starts to be so much. You got to do it so often that it causes your brain to get to fry. I'm really curious to see if he can come out of it. I'm not certain. JD5, I didn't see anybody with, other than the kid in Denver. What I'm looking for, poise. Poise. Who'd you see smoother than JD5?
Nobody, to be honest. That dude,
that's
is,
my point.
He is smooth, man.
Smooth. Caleb looked like, I mean, Caleb is gifted beyond measure. Best feet I've ever seen. In court, the dude is unbelievable. But I don't know if he's got a normal gear. Shadur's going to be interesting. I know he'll make it. He's been developed. He ain't no bus. But for what they're treating people with, if Dak went into what, fourth?
Yep.
And Dak has been solid as a rock. Is he $60 million or something? Well, he is. You are what you get. He got it. And he got it from a nut, but okay, cool. That nut has created more revenue for everybody in the National Football League than anybody before him.
Mm-hmm.
Him and Al Davis. Who else has generated more revenue? I'm sure there are a couple. Name them.
Maybe the Patriots. Kraft.
Has he?
I mean, I would assume with winning comes, you know.
Well, he ain't won nothing. I mean, he ain't winning. Bill won.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Robert, I don't know what Robert has won. I know he can't get in the hall. Jerry, I've been in there covering game. Jerry had, he had parking lot full of cars. They were selling cars. They were doing swap meets. Jerry Jones knows how to move dollar bills, Slim. He's horrible when it comes to football. But he's fantastic when it comes to making money. But his ego won't allow him to release it, so they're doomed. If 30 years is not a long enough sample size for you to see it, then you dumb as a lizard. You're never going to get it. And he's wealthy. We've shown it's a big power play. If you're rich enough, you can do damn near anything you want to do. This man is terrible at football operations, and everybody knows it. But yet, nobody's going to say it because they want to keep getting paid. 30 years of failure. And the one dude responsible for it is still making a profit. Hard for me to consider that a bad business because he getting paid. Everybody getting paid. But this quarterback thing, the Steelers, and the Big Tony, I know he's somewhere crying right now. Because he's saying, you know, I'm picking. I'm not picking on him. I think if I'm mistaken, they get the highest payroll on defense of anybody in the sport. When are they going to get into what's current? They're beating their head up against the wall. It's not working. Even the Ravens conformed from that. They made an adjustment. Just can't get over that hump. But they tried, and their offensive coordinator, I mean, somebody must have drugged him couple of years back. It's the worst offensive game plan I've ever seen in my life. Kansas City comes in and beats him at the bank. And now you got Buffalo trying to hit his head up against the deck. It's not like Kansas City is insurmountable. Philadelphia showed you that. So before you start putting the Bills on this monument, look at what the Eagles did. They toyed with Kansas City. But you got to admit, Buffalo's closest. So this quarterback situation is interesting. And I'm telling you, JD5 is a threat to Philadelphia. But he cannot do it alone. And so how you build this team around him is essential. Because as far as my eyes have shown me, that Washington has the closest path to victory if they align it right because of him. Now, if you see it differently, holler at me. What I saw out of this year going, oh, yeah, yeah, I like us if we build a plan the right way. Because I saw them against everybody else. They just steamrolled through. Now, you may look at our score. Go ahead and say something stupid now. They scored 57 points. Yeah, you give them the ball four times, they're good enough to destroy you. I get that. But you and I both know, if we hadn't thrown up all over ourselves, that might have been different. Might have been different. Kingston, on line one. What do you say to that?
What's going on? Oh, man, I'm saying, I'm listening to your argument, Doc, and let me push back a little bit before
It's not an argument.
Let me push back a little bit on the Jerry Jones thing. Let me push back. And I'm not Jerry Jones' representative because I think he's done, you know, the organization some well. It's everybody, you know, in
he's made
the
of money.
Country.
He's son, made of money.
The son that sabotaged the outfit, right? The son has sabotaged the outfit so bad because if everybody know when Jerry was young, Jerry was, you know, the one that said, go get Deion Sanders. He paid Deion Sanders, you know, hella bread, right? You know what I mean? So it's the son, that guy by the name of Stephen Jones, and the entire Cowboy, you know, fan base, they know this. So Jerry, I'm gonna cut him a little slack because the son is in control now.
You know what? You know how I know that you either got some really good bourbon with you, or some really good weed, because you just gave Jerry Jones' son credit for having power over his old man, and everybody down there knows that. He ain't got no power over Jerry.
Yeah, he actually does, believe it or not, because I'm telling you, everybody knows that, you know, why you think the Deion Sanders thing, Deion would have never happened because the son and Deion got beef and it stems way back. You know what I'm saying? You know, again, everybody in Dallas Cowboys, you know, fan base, they know this. So when it was
okay, you know what I'm going to do?
Deion Sanders,
you know what I'm
gonna
do
like,
with
that's
you?
Not going to happen.
I'm going to do with you what I do with Derek Davis, another Cowboy fan. I don't argue with Cowboy people. Because y'all have proven me.
We're having a discussion.
No, we're not having a discussion. Because you guys are incapable of having discussions with.
Well.
You're incapable of it.
Let me say this. No, we're having a discussion because, see, the thing I like about Washington fans, listen, it's good now. It's good that you guys are winning this year, right? You won this year. Right?
No, we didn't win nothing.
I'm happy for you. I'm happy.
No, we didn't win anything.
No. You won. No, but you won. You went to the playoffs, right? You went to the playoffs, Doc, so be happy, right?
Now, yeah, no, but that's not our thing. That's your thing.
No. Everybody wants to go to the. Listen, when Dak had said, you know what? Dak said this. He said, Philadelphia need to check my credential against them. Everybody railed when Dak said that. And Dak was 101% correct, because here's why. His record against them, Dak got injured against Atlanta, and he was done for the year. He didn't see Philadelphia. And I guarantee you this, if Dak was there, more than likely he would have touched Philadelphia one time. He would have touched them, and they know that. Even with the you know what I'm saying, the injuries that we had, Dak just know how to beat, you know, the division. We know
so
this.
Injuries. And so you had injuries this year. So this year it was injuries.
Well,
is that what you're saying?
Well, come on, Doc. You played the game. Doc, you played it on the biggest level. You played.
No,
Doc,
Kingston. I'm asking you. I'm not disputing you.
It's been a long time since somebody been drinking, you know, Coke 45 and malt liquor, Doc.
Yeah. I thought y'all were very good.
The Coke 45 and the malt liquor. I know you're not
y'all were good.
I respect
y'all. Y'all were good. Y'all were good.
I respect your argument.
Y'all were good.
But what I'm
and
saying,
I respect,
what I'm saying.
I respect your defense.
Yeah. No, I'm respecting it, man, because I'm what I'm saying is that, you know, Dak, he knows his record in the division. And you and I both know, Doc, what you got to do to get to the playoffs. You got to win the division.
Or
you
got
to
either
come close, you got to beat up on the division. Once you beat up on the division, your chance of getting in that thing is better. And getting into the tournament, right? Your chances are better, right? Now, let me just jump on what you said initially in relation to your why people talk about the Cowboys in Pittsburgh. You and I both know those teams going to make you money when you discuss them because of people love to hate them, as you're doing. People love to hate
them. I'm not hating.
Talk to me, Doc. Talk to me nice, Doc. People love to hate them. And the ESPNs of the world and all these other different big, you know, outfits, they have to talk about them because that's how they generate their revenue. You know what I'm saying? That's how they generate it. And these are the facts, right? I'm not saying nothing that you know, Coke 45 or, you know, private stock or Valentine. No, nothing like that. Everything I'm saying is all factual, right? So, you know, when you talk about Pittsburgh, when you talk about the Cowboys, everybody's going to, you know, the airs are going to start perking up. So the gentleman that was talking about Pittsburgh, I understand, people are going to listen. I mean, that's just how I perceive it. You know what I mean? And at the end of the day,
you're not wrong.
All you have to do is just go on the, internet, Doc, and you see.
You're not wrong.
When they have a conversation about the Cowboys, or if they're having a conversation about, you know, Pittsburgh, when they do, because we know that, you know, if you don't talk about Dallas, it is going to be a problem. But I'm telling you, this is the fact, and I'm, you know, me being a Cowboy fan, that guy by the name of Stephen Jones, you know, he's, if you go to Dallas right now, he's wearing a used car salesman, you know, vest, because this guy doesn't like to spend money. You know, he doesn't like to spend money. Jerry has always been known. Well, come on, let's go back in the 90s. We know that Jerry used to spend that bread. He would, because he's trying to win, he's trying to get that ring. But his son has come around and said, Pa, we're not going, and he's getting old, and he's getting a little decrepit and a little demented in certain areas, and the son's running it now.
So before I let you go.
We got to change the narrative. We got to change the narrative on Jerry.
And I like you.
That's all I'm saying.
And before I let you go. Because I hope you come back. Because I don't want to stir. Because you're fun. That's one thing I love about y'all. Y'all are fun. You telling me right now that you think
fun.
Steven.
Well, like I said, I just like the fact, Doc. I like the fact that you guys have. I'm loving the fact because guess what? This year I expect us to. I don't want no narrative on Dallas as far as. Because, you know, they'll come on. You know, these prognosticators will come on TV. Oh, Dallas is supposed to go to the Super Bowl. No. How are we going to go to the Super Bowl? We ain't doing nothing in free agency. You know, you guys did excellent because.
No. You've never heard me say you're going to the Super Bowl.
Because of the drop. No. Well, you didn't see. You're the only prognosticator, but prognosticators on other radio stations, you know, XM Radio, if you listen to ESPN and all these other different outlets, Dallas is supposed. They're setting up for the fall. And again, I don't bite because I'm an objective cowboy. You know what I'm saying? I'm an objective cowboy fan. Talk to me. Talk to me nice.
Promise me that you won't go hide. That's all I'm asking. Because I love your dialogue, because you're a devout follower. And I love that, because you're going to be so much fun for me. And I thrive off that. A few of my best friends in life are just as sick as you are. And my goal is to see y'all healed. And I really believe it's going to happen this year. So stay with me on that. Got to go to break. Anthony, that was a good one. Make sure we got a way to contact him, because he's going to start hiding. Because once it falls apart, then we won't be able to check him. So make sure we jot his number down so I can call him back. And this is the Hoffman Show, DOC. Hey, look, I take care of my cowboy brethren because, look, we have to keep with them. Because one of the days down the road, we may get old. Something may happen to us. And we may need somebody to reach out for us, okay? So let's not judge them for how they sound. Let's treat them like human beings. We'll be back. Just had a strange thought. Welcome back to the Hoffman Show. Doc Walker DHing today, along with super producer Anthony Haney.
Yes, sir.
How'd you get that nickname?
the super producer, Anthony Haney. So the my man Travis, who I used to work with in the mornings, I'm not gonna lie, Doc, I really miss working 9 to 12. That was a great shift. Morning drive, couldn't get enough of it.
Yeah, it's a nice, it's a powerful mechanism.
Or I guess it was technically it was morning drive / middays. I don't know.
Yeah, morning. It's weird because you're getting here after people have already made that push. Because rush is a monster. Because you got to get before to get where you need to be by 7 or 6:30. It's an intricate time slot. Played in that one a little bit. And then again, it depends on your commute, how far you got to go.
Well, I was traveling 30 minutes, man. 30.
30, yeah. That says a lot, man. The commute is, but if you're a veteran of the 405 in Southern Cal, and I'm sure people in Boston, I heard there's some areas, what's the most difficult commuting environment you've ever been in?
That I've been in? I mean, I would probably say traveling from Bethesda to D.C. is pretty brutal sometimes. 495 is really bad. But I've heard stories about L.A. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, it's true.
I wouldn't even want to sit in any of that traffic.
Yeah, it's challenging.
I wouldn't want to live out there either.
You don't have to be in a hurry.
Yeah.
You are in a world of trouble. It's But, you know, it's just you find a way. You learn how to plan a certain way, and you just deal with it. But it does seem like just an unbelievable waste of time. It does. But, nevertheless, it's good for those of us that engage in talk radio, in music. I mean, the radio. Where would we be without the radio? And traffic.
Man, that would be brutal.
Are you saying there's a bit of a partnership there? Are you saying that maybe we could be behind some of this conspiracy to lend itself to traffic? I'm just on the line. Of course, I can't take it now, but I got a call from Clarence Goldsboro Jr., a.k.a. Cowboy Clay. They're thick as thieves, man. You go after one of theirs, you know, and they come after you. And he sent me, I guess he's just saying he's back in town. So Cowboy Nation, man, it's a very close group. And I've had a pretty decent relationship with them over the years. It's been interesting. That's why I was devastated when we lost here at home. Crushed me. Because I knew what would happen. I knew that it would open up that door for them to doubt us. And it did. And it didn't matter what happened after that. Because they're going to say Dak was hurt. And I already heard it. They don't respect us, which is good. It's good. And I just can't wait for the schedule to come out. Because a lot of you are waiting to see what's up with Philly. Not me. I want to know when we get that star again. That's what I'm waiting for. Who do you want to play first?
I wouldn't mind traveling to Brazil. I think that's where the Chargers will be.
I know. Get your head in the game.
Come on, Doc. Brazil?
Get your head in the game. Man, it's not what you think it is. Did you hear the Packers?
Oh, where they had to stay at the resort?
People don't even come out your room.
Yeah. Yeah.
You want to go to Russia and play?
No.
Why not?
What do you mean? The political climate over there is a little concerning.
Well, why do you think they you want to go somewhere where they recommend you don't come out of your room?
I thought it was because of the fact that the Packers wear green and you're not supposed to wear green in Brazil because it might give off that you're a part of a gang or something like that. I don't know. Maybe we should just steer clear of all of it. You're right.
Then I don't need to be there.
You're right.
Yeah, I mean, just
you're right.
Yeah. There's so enough maybe world where I can go find another place that has a field and do it. I don't have to force my way into this international thing.
Yeah.
Now, I understand where they're going, and I wholeheartedly agree with it because it leads me into our next topic, and that I am really, really sold on and spent a few hours over the weekend absorbing it, and that is this flag football. And more importantly, flag football for the women. I saw some remarkable athletes playing a game that is, I mean, it's going to be at a varsity level. It's going to be collegiate. And, of course, the Olympics and the games, a lot of this is going away. The NFL's already shown you the past two Pro Bowls. I mean, who, raise your hand if you never played flag. When I do this with tackle football, hell, nobody raised their hand. You realize how many people that listen have never played tackle football?
A lot, probably.
A hell of a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Have never played tackle football. They love it, like it, and all that about it. Like me, I've never driven a NASCAR, a car going 160, 70 miles per hour. Love watching it. Never been on skates. Love seeing people smash into the dashboard. Never done it. Looks awesome. Yeah, a whole bunch of things. I've never skied. Never. If you see me on skis, know somebody's holding somebody in my family hostage. Skis. You got to be out your mind. Down a mountain? So some things appear dangerous to some, and it's just like it's recreational to the others. Some people think it's ignorant to cover a kick. Who would do that and run down 100 miles an hour, throw themselves into people? That's what makes the world work for all of us. You people pick and choose what you like. We'll go to break on that. Join us in the 6 o'clock hour. We'll continue this, but we got a bad man about to join us. A guy that knows a little bit something about setting picks and about rolling to the hoop and about slam dunks and about winning. You don't want to miss our next guest. He's a bad man. We'll be right back.